Amen. And we can praise God for that, right, today? Hallelujah. Take out your Bibles if you guys would. I just want to say two things real fast before we get into the Word this morning. First one is, you probably noticed when you came in, there's some beautiful colored quilts that are hanging in our narthex, that area right behind the church. And as part of Black History Month, our quilters, the FBC quilters, a few years ago put together the Underground Railway quilts. And there's four of them that are displayed back there. And I just want to encourage you guys, take a look at those. There's going to be some information about that next week that we'll publish for you as well. And there are many signs of the Underground Railway. It's called Hidden in Plain Sight. So I just encourage you guys to check those out. There's many, many symbols that are there that it's just amazing how God was able to use people to be instruments of grace in a very difficult time. And we commemorate that this month as we celebrate Black History. Two other things I want to mention to you guys, by the way. It's nice to see Dave and Aiko and the baby are right with us today. So we praise God for that. So glad to see them. And Lou and Dayla are in our nursery, actually probably watching us online. So greetings, Lou and Dayla. And they're here with their new baby as well. So we praise God for that. God is indeed at work in our midst. So let's just take a minute and we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to speak to our heart as we think about his mercies this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. We want to just praise you, Lord, that you have not left us here on earth, Lord, without your word, without your Holy Spirit, and without your help. And Lord, we just come to you today. We pray, Lord, that your word would just speak powerfully to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would take away any confusion, any distraction, Lord, that's in our lives. Lord, we're all dealing with something, and our lives are busy just dealing with the issues of life. But we praise you, Lord, that your word speaks exactly to those things. And I just pray that you would give us clarity of thought now, communication as we dig in, and we open up your word, Lord, this morning. We want to give you thanks and praise, Lord, for what you are going to do. And we just ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue in our study of Psalm 119. And I hope, by the way, you guys have enjoyed it. And you probably read it a million times. There is so much richness in the psalm. And we're thinking about God's word. It's the main topic of the psalm. But the thing we want to get in your minds, and you can jot this word down, is that as we read God's word, it ought to be a conversation that we are having with the Lord, not just something that we read as a book, right? The incredible power of God's word to deepen our walk with him is what we're thinking about. So we're going to slide right down to the next slide today. And today we're going to focus on this idea of the mercy of God. And we think about God for a second. A lot of times we think about God and we think about his righteousness. And righteousness is a wonderful thing, right? That God's never going to do anything wrong. But we praise God that even though he holds to a standard of righteousness, we praise God that he's the God of grace and mercy. Amen. If not, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't be here. And we're going to just kind of dig into that. Mercy, by the way, is not only a salvation thing. It's a day-to-day life thing. And we're going to dig into that today. Now, throw this out. Have you thought this? Life is so overwhelming. Can I get an amen? And it really is, right? Life is overwhelming. Is there help? And today we're going to listen to the scriptures and see how God's mercy really can help us. So let's take a look as we go on. Here's the thought. We depend on God's word for his mercy and salvation in every season of life. We wouldn't really understand God's mercy or salvation if we didn't hear about it in his word. Sometimes in the midst of the battle of our lives, we kind of lose sight of God's mercy and salvation, and his word restores us, it revives us, it gives us hope in the midst of our struggles. And that's what we're going to kind of dig into this morning. So I want to just take a quick step backward. We're going to hit this real quick today. So there's a number of precepts or ideas or concepts that we've thought about in this psalm so far. So the main concept, and we're going to go right down to it, the main concept that we want to get a hold of as we read Psalm 119 is that God's word is what? a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And everybody look up for a second. In every area of life, by the way, God doesn't speak specifically about maybe how should I behave on the internet. But guess what? There are principles in the Word of God that deal with every place you find yourself, whether it's somewhere in person or somewhere digitally or whatever it is. God's Word guides us. By the way, not just for right and wrong, but how to think, how to feel, what to do, where to go for help. And that's what we're talking about as we think about God's Word. So we're going to just skip right on down. And I just want to kind of remind us, so we're kind of moving along here. We began in remember the Hebrew alphabet is kind of the layout or the structure of Psalm 119. And we've done a number of letters now. We did Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, and today we're on the letter Hey. Can y'all say that? Hey. That's the word, right? Kind of like hey, right? That's the idea, right? But so we learned a couple things, right? The first one is we learned that the Word of God is a source of blessing. Then we learned that the Word of God helps us to cleanse our ways. And our ways are dirty sometimes. Then we learned about the Word of God, how God's Word just shows us all these wonderful things that we would not see without it. And you can kind of write this word down on your paper today, too. The idea is, you know, the Word of God is a revelation. In other words, it reveals to us or it illuminates to us what we could not see or understand by ourselves. And that's huge. And then the next one is the Word of God revives our hearts. I don't know about all of us, but we all been through stuff. We're in the midst of stuff right now. And sometimes our hearts are just beat down. And God's Word revives us. It lifts us up. And the Word of God develops a heart of obedience within us as we converse with God and depend on Him. And actually, that was last week. That's not hey. That is the hey part. We're going to go to the wow part today. That's the next eight verses. So it kind of gives us a thought. And I just want to take a minute, and we're going to skip that slide, just kind of move right on down. So if you would just move that one down there, please. Thank you so very much. We'll go one more ahead. Boom, here we are. And I want to focus today on the prayers that we pray. And I want to say this right off the bat, right? As we read God's Word, if we're going to have a relationship with Him, it's more of a conversation than the reading of a book. And as I look at Psalm 119, there's a truth and then there's a prayer. There's a truth, then there's a prayer. There's a truth, and then there's a prayer. And I want to just kind of throw out to us, kind of jot this down real quick, and we're going to dig in. We approach this psalm because we are in a situation as people. The first part is this. We need conversation with God. We need that. We actually need conversation. And then, I don't know about you, but we need His mercy and His grace. We need it. And I'll just share a story just about having me this week, kind of a simple thing, by the way. You know, God is in the details. He's just not a God way out there. And this past week, and my wife's like, you got to watch where you're going. But this week, I was driving to work. You know, I live right down there, right past Wawa, you know, by the apartments. I live right behind there. And I drive past Wawa literally like five times a day. I have never hit the curb. Until Friday, right? And I was driving along, and I'll share with you guys, it's kind of, my day was going good. Levi was, Jane babysits Levi a lot of days and watches him. So he was at our house, and you know, there was a lot going on. I'm getting ready to come in, but he's like, he calls me Dad. That's my grandfather name, Dad. So Dad, that's like that, right? His dad is Dada, and I'm Dada. I got a little D on the end, right? But He comes to our house, and we have this backpack that he loves to ride and walk around in. So he's like, backpack. So he wants to go for a walk. So I'm like, looking at the time. Okay, we can do it. So we took a walk, went over to the lake. We saw ducks and geese and all those kind of things. And he was so happy, right? So I came home. I got to jump in the shower quick and get off to work. you know, and I go, we take care of Jane's brother-in-law, I had to run to his house real fast. So I'm doing all this running, and I come to Wawa, and I'm kind of hustling, and I kind of overturn the car, right, a little too far. So I kind of ran over the curb, you know, boom, 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 boom. How many folks have done that before? No, it's only you, Pastor Gary. Right? And I'm just like, ah! Right? So instead of going where I was headed to, I said, let me stop by the church real fast and look at the tire. So I did. And by the way, the tire that went boom, boom, boom over the curb was just fine. But guess what I discovered? There was a giant nail sticking out of the back tire. And by the way, isn't that God's mercy though? Like, I don't really hit curbs typically, but the Lord kind of revealed to me, you have a bigger problem. And had I was like, you know, I was kind of, you know, 0 to 60. Anybody live life like that real fast? You're just kind of going, you're jumping out. John, I see you raise your hand, right? Others, right? You know, you don't stop unless you got to stop. And I was like, man, I better look and check this thing out. And, you know, we need our van. I could be on 295. I could be on the turnpike. I could be anywhere. And that nail could have pierced the tire. Could have been a blowout. Could have been anything. And I just praise God that his mercies are more. Right? That he kind of revealed it. You know, I had to kind of eat a little humble pie. Jane's watching me as I drive now. But, at the same time, God revealed this bigger problem. And I would say that's what God's word does. And that's how his mercy just engages us in life when we don't expect it. But we need it like every single day. And, you know, praise God, Rosemary's back. Leroy and Beverly are kind of on the mend. God's mercy, right? We just need God's mercy every single day for our health, for everything else that goes on in our lives. So that's the thought. We need God's mercy and grace. And then, another word for prayers are supplications. And that comes from the book of Philippians chapter 4, right? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, when I offer up to God, when I go to God and I request his help, his mercy, right? Even if he doesn't give it to me right away, the peace of God can settle my heart, realizing that he knows the best time to give it, not give it, when I need it, right? So we're going to talk about our supplications. And supplications in this text are, let your mercies come down. I don't know about you. That should be a song. Ansel or Rosemary, you got to write that song, right? Let your mercies, like, come down, you know, kind of like rain upon us, right? We need that. And Cassie, you could sing it. Right? We need that kind of song. That let God's mercy come down to us, right? And then he says this word. He says, keep your word in my mouth. We're going to talk about what does he mean by that. We'll get to that in just a quick second. But that's what we want to think about this morning. So we want to dive in right away. And I want to just kind of focus a second. Here's our situation. We got needs. Amen? By the way, don't we kind of feel like self-sufficient? You know, by the way, in our world, like we worship people that are self-sufficient, strong, you know, seem like they never have a problem. But guess what? We got needs. And God says to us in the book of Jeremiah, he says a lot in that book, this guy is a prophet, and he speaks well, thus saith the Lord for God. He says to people, he says, call to me, to this God speaking, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know. And I want to say this, you know what? There's a whole lot of things we don't know. And we need to be having that conversation with God to reveal to us what we don't know and what we do need. And I just kind of jot down a couple of things so you can think about that. Here's some things that we need from God along with his mercy. We need his instruction. We need to understand his ways and his will. We really do, right? We need our hearts to change and our will to be directed more toward God and less toward us. And we need his mercy and his grace, especially when we fail, which is often. We cover it up a lot, but we fail pretty often, right? So we're going to shoot down to the book of Lamentations. By the way, the book of Lamentations, we haven't really studied that like chapter by chapter, maybe forever, like in a long time, right? But Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah. And if you guys know anything about Jeremiah, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And out there, Pastor Anstey and I, like, we're both pastors and we preach and we teach. And the thing that really gives us encouragement is when God works in your lives, you respond, you change. You know, we all change, the church grows, and we do better, right? That's what makes us respond. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because Jeremiah preached and he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. Israel, he kept warning Israel. The prophets, by the way, they're like, back in the day, like they would fortify cities and there would be people on the wall that were called the watchmen. And they would watch and they would look all the way back, maybe where Steve Scott is, and they would say, "The enemy is coming. Get ready." Right? And that's Jeremiah's job. He was a watchman on the wall for the people of Israel. And he cried out, and he cried out, and he cried out, and he cried out. And Israel did not listen until they were taken over, right, and taken into captivity. And that's why he's the weeping prophet. It was just like, I mean, could you imagine that job? Who wants to sign up for that job? You're going to talk and talk and talk, and no one's going to listen and do anything about it. Yeah, it's like, wow, right? So Jeremiah, he wrote these lamentations. The lamentations have the idea, they're like his tears in verbal form. He is crying literally these words out to God. And look what he says. By the way, this is our situation on earth too. He says, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." And I want to throw this out. Some of the trouble that we experience, we bring upon ourselves because we just disobey God. And when you think about God's mercy, praise God that he gives us his mercy, not just his righteousness. And he says, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day." And I want you guys, these words, by the way, are sort of picturesque in a bad way. And your heart may feel like this. He says, "Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out." Yeah, the other times we think about being hedged in is like God's protection. Sometimes God hedges us in so the only way out is up to him. Right? So he says he's hedged me in so that I can't get out. "He's made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with a hewn stone." And a hewn stone is a stone that's been carved out, in this case, to fit the door so that I can't get out any other way. "And he has made my paths crooked." By the way, everybody look up. You know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We looked at that last week. What's that say? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths" what? Straight, right? This is the other, so like, in other words, when we're in disobedience to God, God says, "Okay, sometimes you can walk your crooked path and I'm not going to get you out of it," right? And Jeremiah is feeling all of these things. And by the way, that is the context of one of the greatest verses in Scripture that we read about, that the song "Great is Thy Faithfulness" comes from. And we'll come to that in just a second. The context is, Jeremiah's preaching, Israel's not listening, God is letting them experience the punishment for their sin. And I'll throw this out, but you know what? God has not left them alone. And that's the cool thing for us, by the way. By the way, all of our trouble is not just brought on by our sin, but God doesn't leave us by ourselves. And if we cry for mercy, God answers. And I love that song, by the way. His mercy is what? It's more. It's more than all the bad stuff. And Jeremiah kind of tees up that situation. We'll get on to the next slide, if you would, please. So here's the deal. We have needs. Can I get an amen? Amen. We got needs, right? For real. Like, we're not really self-sufficient. We like to act like we are, but we're not. We have needs. And we have needs because of these things. Jot them down. Sin. And again, I want you guys, everybody look up. I want you to really be clear and understand what I'm saying. We're not just talking about your sin, although we are talking about your sin and my sin too. By the way, every time I say yours, think Pastor Gap. He's the champion of sin too. Remember Paul said that? But Paul said what? I'm the worst of all the sinners. Pastor Gary, he's right in the same category. I think Pastor Ansu is too. You know, even though, you see, he was rebellious, say he wore the Dallas Cowboy outfit. You know? No, I'm kidding, right? But we have needs because of sin. And I want you to get this in your heart, right? Your mind. Sin has affected everything. Write that down. Sin has affected everything. There is nothing that sin has not affected. That's why we get ill. That's why we die. That's why we struggle. That's why we're sad. That's why there's a division between us and God. Sin has affected every single thing. And get this, I'm sorry about this, but it's true. We are sinful in our flesh. There's no doubt about it. And I want to share with you guys, turn with me. It's not going to be on the screen, we're going to stay on those points. Go with me to Romans chapter 7. Remember, we studied Romans. We're going to come back to Romans very shortly. But in Romans chapter 7, Pastor Ansu preached this message, by the way. In Romans 7, and we want to look at verse 14. And I want you guys to understand this and look up for a quick second. This is not just an Old Testament thought from Psalms or Jeremiah or Lamentations. This is a thought that affects all generations, right? And Paul says this in Romans 7, verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal." And the idea is fleshly. Like, my appetites drive me. They control me sometimes, right? And he says, I'm sold under sin. And then here's his dilemma. He says, for what I am doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Everybody look up. Do you feel like that sometimes? Like, I know I shouldn't be so nasty, but I am. I know I shouldn't feel this way, but I do. I know I shouldn't say this, but I will. Like, Paul is living in this dilemma in his life. And by the way, he said this, and he's the apostle. He's probably the greatest apostle, wrote the most books of scripture in the New Testament. But he says, guess what? I struggle because of sin. And everybody look up. And I need God's mercy and God's grace. Right? And I won't read the rest of that up through 20, but you get the idea. How many times you said it? I'm not going to do that anymore. Hello, God. I know it's Monday. I did it again. Right? This is the last time, God. Tuesday. Hello, God. I'm back. Right? That's the problem. We struggle with sin. How about the next thing? As a result of all that, sometimes we live in sadness and in fear. Don't we? And that's why we need help. That's why we need God's mercy. Life on earth can be very sad, sorrowful, and fearful. You know, whether it's the doctor's diagnosis, where you live, who's in your neighborhood, what's going on in the world. By the way, in the time we're living right now, there's a whole lot of sadness and there's a whole lot of fear. And we need to pray to God and say, God, rain down that mercy from heaven now. And you know what? God's people in every generation, whether it was the kingdom of Israel, the slaves in America, people all over the world, when they prayed to God for mercy, God answers. And that's the key thing. That's what we got to get in our heart. We need to As God talks to us, God, please give us your mercy. Rain it down on us. And Psalm 55, and I want to turn there. Go to Psalm 55 with me just for a second. Psalm 55, 1 through 7. I'll say this as a quick introduction. You know, the Psalms give us the entire spectrum of the emotions and the feelings of our lives. And sometimes when you're a kid, like, you can't really quite relate to it. But as an adult, when you've gone through stuff, you kind of get where they're coming from, right? And in Psalm 55, verse 1, I want you to just listen to what the psalmist writes here. By the way, this is David. And everybody look up. This is David. He's the king, and he still needs God because he has sin, he has sadness, he has fear, and he still struggles. And he could do almost anything. He has power. He has the resources. He has control. He has all that stuff. And guess what? He still needs God and God's mercy. And look what David says. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication." There's that word. By the way, write this down. Supplication just means your request for God. Write it down. Your request. This was burning on your heart. And when you pray sometimes, how about when you guys pray, you ever have go through this? There's only one thing on your mind. You know you're supposed to pray like, you know, you're supposed to adore God first, confess your sins, thank him for what's going on. But sometimes we go to God in prayer because that one thing on our mind is just overwhelming us. And we're like, God, help. Right? And he says, God, hear my prayer. And he says, attend to me and hear me, for I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Wow. He's feeling it, right? And he says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. And everybody listen, look up for, listen for a sec. You know, sometimes the pains of life aren't just the physical ones, but they're the relational ones, the emotional ones, the things that just don't go away. You know, I can take a Tylenol or an ibuprofen and get rid of my headache, but I can't take those to get rid of my heartache. Only God can do that, right? Only the Lord is able to do that. And David just prays it out, and he says, for my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Everybody, and I don't know if that's God speaking to you right now. That could be one of us today. We're just like, God, I'm done. I am done. D-O-N-E. I am finished. I am done. God, just take me out of here. Right? And many of us have said that, maybe prayed that. And look what David continues. Look what he says. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. You see, David is a king. He's God's choice as a king. He has power as a king. He has control as a king. He has money and resources as a king. And guess what? He needs the mercy and the grace of God. Does that make sense? And that's our situation, right? I don't know about you. I'm not a king. I don't have a lot of power. By the way, here's the funny thing. People say, well, you're the pastor. You know what? If you took that in 25 cents, I could maybe make a phone call. Right? And Pastor Anstey, right? Amen? We don't have too much power. You know, we have the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, but we don't have that much power. And think about David. He has all that stuff, and he's still saying, God, I want to just fly away and not come back. Right? So we live this life of sadness and fear that's overwhelming sometimes. And then how about this? We struggle. We can struggle well because God's with us and he has his Holy Spirit, but life on earth is a struggle in every way. And it all, by the way, bears the mark of sin, right? Things don't work out. You know, and think about all the things your parents told you. Work hard and everything will be good. It's going to hopefully be better, but it's not going to all be good, right? You know, there's things that, you know, if you have an apple a day, it'll keep the doctor away. You know, no, it doesn't really work that way. You know, people that never smoke get lung cancer. You know, people that never do certain things, they still die early. You know, their children have dilemmas and problems because life is just broken and it's a struggle. And remember in the Garden of Eden, as the Lord kind of laid out sort of what the repercussions were of the fall of man, you know, pregnancy is going to be painful. You'll give birth with pain and anguish. Husband and wife, you're going to fight each other to who's going to be the dominant one. You know, all these different things he lists out. There's going to be weeds in your garden, and the weeds are going to be better than what you're trying to grow. He lays all this stuff out because guess what? Sin broke life. And that's why we need God's mercy and God's grace, right? You know, in Zechariah 4:6 kind of gives that idea. He says, not by might nor by power, but what? But by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's what we need, right? It's not like I can't just fix it. You know, none of us have the toolbox with all the right tools to fix up life. Only God does. And that's why we need his mercy and his grace. We're going to slide down to the next slide. And I want to say to you guys, maybe you came in today and you're saying, Pastor Gary, who told you? How'd God know? That's me, right? Guess what? There is hope at the end of this tunnel. There's hope there, right? Because Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he stopped weeping and he found hope. And look what it says. He says this in Lamentations chapter 3. You can flip back there, verses 19 to 26. He says, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. You guys, just real quick biblical thing. Whenever you see the worm, wormwood, like I don't typically hear that out there, but wormwood is bitter. Bitter, 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 right? He says, when I think about these things, he says, the wormwood and the gall. Remember Jesus on the cross, gall. It's a bitter, bitter herb, right? So yeah, he's talking about, I'm just feeling this, but I remember the bitterness of life. And he says, my soul remembers and it sinks within me. But guess what? Everybody look up. We're going to say amen and we're done. No, we're not. No, we are not, right? We're going to say, you know what? In the midst of all that, there is hope, right? And that's what he says. He says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope, right? And he says this, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. And the idea of consumption is kind of like when I put a log in the fire, it just burns it all up, and all that's left are ashes and dust. And he says, because of the Lord's mercy, that's not going to be me. That's not going to be me, right? And look, he continues here. He says, and get this, because his compassion, by the way, that's his mercy in action. Because of his compassions, fail not. They don't fail. Your compassions fail. By the way, you could do all kinds of things to try to cheer me up, and that might fail. But if God does it, it won't fail. Right? And he says, they are new every morning. And then, by the way, remember that song? How's it go? Great is thy faithfulness. So I want you guys to check this out. If you thought you exhausted God's mercies yesterday, just wait till tomorrow. But that's a word we need to hear in this world, right? Seems like there's nowhere to go, there's no help, there's no place I can run to. Guess what? God gave you the mercy he brought you through yesterday. You laid your head on the pillow, and when you wake up, the mercies are new this morning. Right? And that's what God wants us to understand. And look what he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And that's something we got to think about, right? Our hope can't be in what we want and just having our desires met and our, you know, that kind of thing done. Our hope is in the Lord. And his mercies are going to be new today. It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Everybody look up. Are you guys waiting on the Lord? I'll throw this out. Amen, Brother Steve. Thank you. I know we talk about this. Steve's suffering with this back problem, and it's like, you know, painful and endless, it seems like, and he's kind of waiting on the Lord. But I'll throw this out. Could we all wait better on the Lord? We could. We could trust him more. We could know that he's going to be in control, and he's going to give us just what we need when we need it, right? And he says, the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And just kind of get this in our mind. We talk about salvation. A lot of times we mean salvation from sin and the consequences of sin and death, and that is definitely the salvation we praise God for. But this salvation is not just that. It's deliverance from every other problem that results from our sin. Right? God does that. So that's our situation. Everybody look up. You guys, I'm sorry. But isn't that the truth? Isn't that where we're sitting? That's where we're at, right? We need God. We need him because sin. We need him because of sadness and fear. We need him because of struggles. And if we thought long enough, we probably could come up with a whole lot of other reasons that we need him too. And we realize that he's going to be there and his mercies are more and they're going to meet us where we're at. Right? They're going to meet us right where we are today. So we want to shoot down. Notice then our supplication. So when we read Psalm 119, and turn back there, when we read Psalm 119, it just tells us about the word of God is all these things, right? And he says, in verse 41, look what his request is. So he kind of read and talked about the power of the word of God, and he says, God, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation, and get this is the connection. Your salvation, how? According to your word. And I want to throw this out. If I read the scriptures, and I read about all those men and women in the Old Testament and New Testament, you know, the God we're talking about is the God that opened the prison doors when Paul and Barnabas prayed. Right? The God we're talking about is the God that stopped the mouths of the lions when Daniel was in the den. Right? The God we're talking about is the God that enabled Noah to build the ark when it never rained and rescue him and his family out of the first ever flood. Right? That's what we're talking about. He says, your salvation according to your word. And as I read God's word preemptively of all of the troubles that I might face one day, I begin to realize that God is someone I can trust. God is someone who is faithful. God's someone I can rely on. God's someone who hears my prayer. And God's someone who gives me mercy when I need it. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. And he says, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me? And I'm going to throw this out. So one of the pains that result from sin in our lives is sometimes people attack us. And my answer isn't, I'm going to get you back. My answer is, I'm looking for God's mercy. And he's the one who gets things right. Right? When we read about that in the book of Romans, right? How's that go? Remember in Romans chapter 12, what's that passage say? It says, vengeance is who? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We can't put ourselves in that and say, vengeance is mine, says Pastor Gary. That would not be good for sure. And all the rest of you, if your vengeance was yours, that wouldn't be too good either. Right? We look to God, and he says, and says, for I trust in your word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. Remember, the word, ordinances, statutes, commandments, they're all describing the word of God that we read and apply. Right? So two requests he has, so here they are. And by the way, these ought to be high on your list. Lord, let your mercies and salvation rain down on me. Amen? And by the way, don't feel bad. Like, don't go, you know, sometimes we feel bad, go back to God. God, I sinned again. You could ask God every day for his mercies, and every day he'll keep giving. And he's not going to be angry and say, your line's busy. You came back too many times, right? Second thing he says is, don't take the word of truth out of my mouth, for I hope in your ordinances. I want you guys to get this in your mind. What he's trying to say is this, Lord God, don't take that word of truth that I've read, I've thought about, I've tried to get into my heart out of my mouth. Because sometimes, you know, a lot of times when we talk, we think, you know, and we'll, by the way, how many of us, somebody else is in church is sick, we always tell them what? Don't worry, God's with you. Don't worry, God's going to answer your prayer. Don't worry, it's going to be okay, right? We do that, right? But what he's trying to say is don't take that out of your mouth, but even use it for yourself. Don't let me forget your word. Let that word just keep flowing out of my mouth, those truths that sometimes I have to listen to myself say them to know that they're true, to know that God is going to do what he says. Our supplications. Now I want to shoot down to the next slide. And I want us to kind of understand this just for a second. Notice he says, right? Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. You're probably saying this question, what is God's mercies? What is it? What's that look like? And here's what it looks like. I want you guys to jot this down. Mercies are God's loyal love, faithfulness, goodness, graciousness, and the godly actions to us in just the way that we need them. That's God's mercy. So get this in your mind, by the way. You ever hear this phrase, blood is thicker than water? What's that mean? That means if me and my family and your family getting ready to have a fight, my family's sticking with me. And if you beat me up, I'm going to get my dad, and he's going to come beat up your dad. Right? Isn't that what we say? Right? I know I'm kind of going back, hopefully, for most of us in our childhood, right? Hopefully, we're not still saying that. But the idea is this, right? Our dad is going to come beat up their dad. Right? Our dad is loyal. By the way, our dad's loyal even when we're not loyal to him. Our dad's loyal when we sin. Our dad's loyal when we run away. Our dad's loyal when we don't confess our sin. Our dad is faithful. And he's always loyal. And his loyalty is expressed in his love for us, in his faithfulness to us, in his goodness to us, in his graciousness to us. And it comes out looking like godly actions that he does in just the way we need them. And I probably should have said, when we need them. That's what God's mercies are. So we're saying, God, I need your love. I need your faithfulness. I need your goodness. I need your godly actions. You know, we're probably saying, now. But we praise God that the omniscient God that we learned about a few sections ago in this psalm, he knows if you need it now, tomorrow, or a couple weeks away. He knows exactly what you need. And he's going to be loyal, faithful, and he's going to uphold you. And there's a verse in Scripture that says this, in the palm of his hand, right? That's what he's talking about here. So our supplications are, God, pour those mercies down. Now, I know about you. Man, by the way, last night when it started to sleet, it came down hard, didn't it? You guys hear it was like hitting the windows, hitting the roofs, hitting everything. It was like, whew, what's going on out there, right? God, let the mercies come down just like that. That's what we're saying, right? That's what we want. God, let it come down just like that. Right? So we're going to slide down. And here's, by the way, you might be saying, Pastor Gary, are you sure? And by the way, sometimes I waver like you. But the Bible tells me I can be sure. And look at these verses, by the way. Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. You know, praise God. God's not like us when you know, they come knocking on your door trying to sell you siding. You know? You tell everybody, just keep your head down. Don't look. God's not like that, right? He says, you knock and the door is going to be open. And he says, I tell you truly that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And then he says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And some of you guys are going, dang, God don't know what I'm asking for, but let me tell you what it is, right? So some of you Eagles fans are saying, I'm asking. Pastor answered, he might be praying a different prayer, but guess what? If you ask in faith, God will meet your needs. By the way, this doesn't mean he's going to give you this brand new, you know, Tesla or whatever car you're dreaming about, but it does mean that God is going to meet absolutely your needs right when you need it, right? That's what it means. That's how I can be sure. And again, remember he said this in the text. He said, according to your word, right? The mercy is based on your word, right? Not my word, but God's word. God's mercies are going to come. And that's what we need to be thinking about. Remember, God's mercies are what? Take us back a slide real fast. God's mercies, what are they? Back up top. That's it. Boom, and one more. Boom. What's God's mercies? Go back one more. One more slide back. Great job. Mercies are what? God's loyal love, faithfulness, goodness, graciousness, and godly actions in just the way we need them now and any other time. Right? We can trust on God. Sorry about that. Let's go down too. So then guess what? As a result of all those things, we also make promises to God. And we're going to just list them out. Look what he says in this text. We're just going to pop them up on the screen and put them up there on Jay, if you will. And Andre, we appreciate you. I know you try to read me and Pastor Ansu's mind, and that's a hard book. So here we go. We're going to go down to the next slide. Check out the promises that we make. Look what he says. First he said, remember he said, take not the word of God out of my mouth. He says, for I have what? Hoped in your ordinances. By the way, meaning what? I hope in what? What God said, his word. And then he says, I will, so shall I keep your law continually. Because your mercies, God, I'm going to keep your law. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try my very best, you know, with your help to do it. And by the way, look at this. Look at verse 45. He says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Everybody look up real quick. Give me something about that. Here's the funny thing. I just heard this on the radio this week, too. It's interesting. Somebody said, when is a train the most free? Think about that. When is a train, like, you know, a train locomotive, when is it most free? The SEPTA train, the NJT train, when is it the most free? Here's a choice. Give you a question. Make it multiple choice. When it's on the tracks or when it's off? Yeah. So stop thinking about this for a second, right? God created the train, and he created the train to run on the track. But when it runs on the tracks, it is able to do exactly what it's designed for. All the best about the train come out. Now, it may seem like when I don't obey God and I get off the track, man, I got all kinds of freedom. When the train is off the track, what happens? A lot of wreckage, right? And he says this, he said, Lord, as you give me your grace and your mercy, you know what? I'm gonna walk in liberty in and on the tracks, right? And he says this, And I will not be, I will speak of your testimonies before kings, and I won't be ashamed. When we really have that connection with God, we're going to be telling other people about it, because saying, look what God just did. It wasn't me that did it. God did it. How'd that happen? God did it. How did you get through that? God did it. We're going to be doing those kind of things, right? And he says, and I'll delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Because in God's word, right, I find those things of hope, right? Not just guidelines. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. You know, Pastor Ansu, Gloria, we got to be more like you, right? He's saying, guess what? I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to lift up my hands to you because your word. Word is powerful, right? And he says, and I will meditate on your statutes. So we're going to just pop down and kind of wind up. So this whole month, right, we're into month two a little bit. This whole idea, what we've kind of looking at with Psalm 119, is to get the stability in our lives that the Word of God gives us, and to read God's Word in a conversational way as much as we can, so that we can live life wisely and well, right? That's the idea. So how do we do that, right? When we talked about this, some of these last week, God's Word is a blessing, right? God's Word is the thing that says, in the midst of all your troubles, call on me and I'm going to answer. That God's word is a blessing. And God's word tells us, right, that God's love is loyal. It's faithful. It's dependable. It's all those things. So God's word is a blessing. Prioritize it. Right? God's word will clean us up. It won't clean you up unless you bathe in it. Right? You got to get in. Let it really cover you, right? God's word shows us wonders. And I'll throw this out. Sometimes you don't see the wonders unless you meditate on it. Everybody look up. We don't live in a meditation kind of day. We live in a 0-60 day. Right? We just want to do everything fast, 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 fast. But as we kind of, we're going to see more if we spend a little time there. We're going to see more. You know? God's word will revive us again. Talk to him about it. Read it. And if you don't agree, tell God. Tell him, right? God's word must be obeyed. Depend on him. Ask him to instruct you, show you, and help you do what you need to do. Right? It's a whole new way to approach scripture, right? God's word reveals his mercy. Everybody look up. And we're done. God's word reveals his mercy. Ask him. Anybody need mercy today? Yes. Yeah, my hand is up. This ain't no illustration. Anybody need God's mercy, God's grace? Yes. Yep, and by the way, rain down that same mercy tomorrow and the next day and every other day, right? Yes. Amen? Go to God. And here's the cool thing. When we're God's children, we can ask him anything. So when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we are baptized into the family by the blood of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, we can go to God and ask him anything at any time. And guess what? And we're going to sing about it. Great is his faithfulness. Praise team, would you come and lead us in that song?
We ask that you all stand as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Oh, God, my Father, there.
I hope that song kind of resonates with us a little bit better now, right? Because of his mercies, we are not consumed, right? His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy what? Faith. Let's talk to God. We got needs? Let him know. Let him know. Read his word. He's going to be faithful. Tell him what you need. He's going to answer faithfully. Just want to... Deacons, we have just a quick meeting. Kind of run, I have to maybe run around real quick for a minute. We have some preparation materials for tomorrow night's meeting. Just, we're going to meet in a conference room in about 10 minutes, just for like 5 minutes literally. And I know our WANA kids have practice today in the gym. So we're praying for them as they get ready for their WANA games as well. And we hope the rest of you have a great day. Remember, by the way, our Super Bowl party tonight is for everybody. By the way, not just Eagles fans, everybody. Okay, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship, not just teenagers. So you are more than welcome to join us tonight. We got some food ordered. Just have a great time of fellowship, okay? So, John said the price for non-Eagle fans is 20. It's 10 for everybody else. Pastor Andrew's going to pray, and now he's going to end up praying for the Cowboys.
Let's pray. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. New mercy, Lord, we experience from you, Lord. What a blessing, O God. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, even when we are not faithful. We thank you for your love, even when we don't deserve it. We thank you for your grace. Lord, help us, O God, to continually seek you and ask for your mercy. Because your word says our righteousness before you is like a filthy rag. And Lord, who are we? But Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you that your word can reveal to us those things, O God, that we're locked in, O God, that we can turn to your word and find hope and find peace and find joy. Bless us, Lord, as we go through this day. Your favor go with us, your blessing go with us, now, henceforth, and forevermore. And let the church say, amen. Amen.